a surprise. Let's talk and let's laugh, cause I got so much to tell you, so let's go kick some ass.
Kia ora and welcome to Kick Ass with Emma and Stephen, proudly brought to you this month by our friends at the Dolphin Theatre. Head to dolphintheatre.org.nz to see their great lineup of shows coming up. Kick Ass is Aotearoa's comprehensive art show brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to our podcast, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz, and check us out on Spotify. Tonight we're joined in the studio with the team from two shows, Bad Jelly the Witch and The Worm, winging their way up for the upcoming school holidays. But to kick off the show, Nathan Fry, who we interviewed some time ago now, is back with another track. It's called Better Late Than Never.
Give you my help, caught up in it all, I lost myself. If only I was with you now, after all. I heard there were things that you wanted to say, but I missed the call and I lost that day. Tell me that I won't feel this bad when it calls again. Don't you ever forget where you come from, where you come from, where you coming from. Don't you ever forget where you come from, where you come from. Be the same. I didn't ever want to make you feel that way. If only I was with you now, after all. I give it up on it all, but not this time. I'm here for it all, it could be mine. Tell me that I won't feel this bad.
Better late than never, Nathan Fry. Great to see him making some progress in his music, Emma.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
Fantastic.
Yep. Welcome back. Nice to have you back in the studio. you disappeared again on me.
I know. It was only last week. The days are just mushing into each other.
I know,
you know.
But where have you been in the last week?
So last weekend I was in Oamaru at the Music Theatre New Zealand National Training and Networking Weekend Conference. And we were running both the conference and the juniors program. So we had 45 young performers doing musical theatre stuff down there, which was really cool. And other than that, yeah, just been carrying on with lots of rehearsals, lots and lots and lots. Hey, I want to give a big shout out though to the Rocky Horror Picture Show team who have just hit Wellington.
Mm-hmm.
Because after this season, Christian Lavakam, our own New Zealand actor, will have done 2,659 wow. performances in the Rocky Horror Picture Show. 2,500 is Riff Raff, 72 is Brad, 43 is Frankenfurter, and 43 is the inappropriate narrator who he's playing through this New Zealand
Brilliant.
Tour.
Shortly we're going to interview someone who's playing a worm. I wonder if he'd like to do 2,600 performances in that costume.
I don't know.
We'll find out
Could
shortly.
Could you imagine the state of the costume after 2,600? 600 performances.
Now, you and I went along to Auckland Music Theatre's A New Brain today and checked that out. And the poor team, they've had a bit of a rocky week, reminding us that COVID is still around and kicking into theatre. But big ups to all those that covered different roles to keep the show going.
Yeah, so the director, the assistant choreographer were both on stage today, and then one of the
sort of small character roles had stepped up, really.
Yeah. And then, Nick Stewart, who was normally just the priest, took the whole role of Roger. So he was playing both roles, but it was so good.
I love the introduction that they gave. Now, he's going to be on stage when he takes his jacket off. He's this when he puts it on. And at the time, I thought, well, surely that would be noticeable. But actually, it was like mid-sentence, wasn't it, that
he
had
to change. Yeah, he literally took his jacket off and suddenly was playing
roles.
Another character.
Yeah, well done. Well done, team. Go and check it out. Lots of good stuff happening. Theatre's suddenly got really busy again.
Oh, look, I just feel like there's so many things on and I could literally go to a show every night.
Yeah, and can you believe it is school holidays in just
can
a couple
we not
of weeks?
Talk about
and
school holidays?
Well, we have to because that's the whole point
right.
of tonight's show. And it's Easter as well.
I know, but that means I can sit and eat lots of chocolate in my stress before shows start, right?
Absolutely, you can get away with it. We're going to draw our Easter hamper a little later in the show if you've put your name into that. But first of all, they're worming their way to a theatre near you. In fact, they've already done many theatres. We're lucky to have them here in Auckland. So a big welcome to Puka and Chantel from The Worm. Good evening, team.
Kia ora.
Kia ora.
It's
Hello.
Great to have you here. And we interviewed Emma, was it 2 years ago that
I
The Worm...
I feel like it was 2 years ago.
Tell us, when did The Worm last...
Yeah, I think it was about...
It's quite a while ago.
2023.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, even longer than 2 years ago.
Wow.
It's incredible.
So, Puka, you get to star in this costume we were talking about. So tell us.
Same costume, same worm.
Yeah.
Different actor.
Yeah. Hopefully cleaned at some point.
Yeah.
Tell us, for our audience listening, what is The Worm all about and who's it aimed at?
So The Worm first is aimed at adults aged 7 and up.
Love
is
it.
Is the marketing put on that. And it's a coming-of-age story about a little worm that, you know, like how most kids are, they look around and they're like, I want more than this and I want to be out there. And
yeah.
So he goes looking for it. And on the way, he finds mates, finds friends to help him, finds enemies to try and stop him. And, yeah, it's a really beautiful story. It is for kids, but our writers, They made some little jokes in there for adults, so everyone
Great.
Enjoys it all the same. Yeah,
I love those shows where all the adults laugh, and if you've got kids beside you, they kind of look at you like, "What do we miss?"
Yeah.
I love those. Now, your friend that you've brought tonight into the studio, does she play one of your friends or one of your enemies?
She is a foe.
Ooh.
She is a foe.
Chantel, you play a rat.
Yes, I do. I play the blind rat.
The blind rat.
Yes,
that adds comedy instantly.
It does, because the rat's blind and going after this little worm, and yeah.
Brilliant. So, take us back. How long have you been rehearsing and touring, and where have you been so far?
Wow. We have been rehearsing
We started in February.
Feb.
We went for about 2 weeks.
2 weeks intensive rehearsal.
Yeah.
Fun. And then we went on tour Feb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
18th of February, you started in Kerikeri.
Yep, yes. Turner Centre.
Kerikeri.
Oh, it was so mean there too, beautiful. Eh? So big and like cool. It's all, yeah. Like
hospitality cool. was amazing.
Yeah. Every show we did, there was a plate of Danishes and fruits after
those
the
fancy
show.
Little croissants.
Yeah, but that's always the way when you get out of the big cities. The hospitality's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we carried on after that. We carried on coming down to Whangarei to 116.
Which is a cute little space as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice and cozy. And it keeps you warm, very warm. Yeah.
So, how do you tour? Like, are all of you in a van together, or are you road tripping, or like, how is this tour happening?
I'm really curious now because they both, their eyes just lit up. I feel like there's a story.
No.
We're in a van. We've got one designated driver.
Right. Yeah,
that is the worm himself.
The youngest in the crew and the cast. But, and we stayed at a couple of different places, obviously, because we went to different towns. But in Kerikeri, we were at the chalets, which was so nice.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Yeah, and then we went to Motel 6 in Whangarei, and we were all, like, at the same places
all
together.
It was beautiful.
Yeah. And also, like...
I've stayed there. Careful.
Yeah.
Because this show tour is part of... Pans, right?
Yeah, well, I think that was the reasoning for this season in particular was to make, because it wasn't really tourable before, and so they were kind of like bringing things to a smaller scale or to a movable scale. And yeah, so I think it was all kind of leading up to being able to do it at Pans.
What's the difference between, say, if someone went to it in 23 to now, what's been scaled down? Is it just the set? Because clearly your costume hasn't been scaled down.
I think it is just the set. Or it's not that it's been scaled down, but it's been made mobile. So everything can...
To fit different sizes of theatre. Like, they've made it mobile for the backstage and to... makes it easier for them to move around, hey?
Yeah, like Turner Centre was quite a big theatre, and like everything fit comfortably. And then we went to 116, which was significantly smaller, but it still kind of fit everything in and like comfortably as well, for the most part, yeah.
Do any technical people tour with you?
Yes. So we had Paige on the decks, and then...
Gina. Stage manager.
And Will Smith. A friend, Will Smith. He was...
our lighting...
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was with Tungsten, eh?
Mm.
Yeah.
So you've got quite a few of you then in the van, if you've got your tech crew as well as you guys.
Oh, they come up separately. So they went quite earlier to get the theatre ready. So they have in a truck.
Yeah.
And that's all the props and everything in there. Mm. So they went up earlier, the tech team. We just arrived.
And what's it like having a break now? Like, you've performed it in February. We're now coming into April and you're about to hit the road in Henderson, Takapuna and Whangarei. Mm-hmm. What's it like having that break? Are you nervous to come back into it, or is it there an excitement, or are you like, what's my line?
There's all of those.
All of that, okay.
Yeah, but I think it's more mostly excited. Or kind of like, yeah, it's like, where's everyone? What's everyone doing?
Yeah.
Like, Alison Quigan's part of the show, and I seen her the other night, and I was like, you were like, I seen you every day like 2 weeks ago, and I'm going to see you every day 2 weeks from now. But here it was just, hi, bye. Yeah.
What do you think? You know, tell us a bit about the writing of the show, and you mentioned the humour, and I guess because it's written by Carl and Peter Bland, and Carl's part of the directing team along with Ben Crowder, so, you know, you've got a bit of comedy magic happening there. Talk us through that process.
Chantel?
Carl, wow. He's amazing words, amazing script. Apparently it came to mind when Carl, he was saying he was with his son walking to school, and he had seen, it was a rainy day, and he saw worms, and that's where the idea of the script came, was from him and his son.
That's cute.
Very cute, eh?
Yeah.
And but the words are amazing. They are actually... I really love the script. The words are like I don't know how to explain it, but it's one of those poetry.
Yeah.
Like, the words that we don't say these days. Like, they're not in the vocab of, you know. But, yeah, it's like in the vocab. I don't know how to explain it, but it's beautiful.
It was Carl and his dad that wrote the script. And, so they use language that we don't really use anymore. Yes. But it brings in kind of like that's where the comedy comes from. It's like you know what the word means because of the context of what is being said, but it's like, why would you choose that
But again, that kind of plays to the adults in the room as well.
So that's the adult part of the script.
Tell us about some of the other characters. So we've got a rat, we've got a worm. Who else do we get to meet?
A snail.
Allison.
There's two other worms.
Old worm, that's Ahi. And Bulb! That's Bulb. Brett.
Bulb.
Yeah. Bulb's the cockroach, right?
Yes.
Bulb and cockroach, are different characters. Yeah. Played by the same person. But it's like a flower bulb.
Okay.
Yeah.
So creative, eh?
And so, now there's music in this. Does that mean there's singing? Or is the music all more soundscape background?
Most of it is. Yeah. It's live. Soundscape-y kind of. And that's... I guess he's part of the cast now that he's got a costume and everything. And he's got a lion now.
He's got a lion.
We do have a centipede in the cast now.
Oh, literally a centipede playing the piano. That's quite cool. It'd be quite handy to have all those hands to hit all those keys.
I think that was another one of the jokes was like, it's a one man band is kind of what the centipede is.
So how's it been received in your first shows? How would you describe the audience reaction?
Amazing, magical.
Yeah, it was scary to like the open public when it was like adults and stuff, but like when they were reacting to the stuff, it was like, this is safe.
This is safe,
yeah. Yeah, and like kids, anything slightly dramatic, they're just like, and they're so excited for everything.
That is so cool. What are you looking forward to most bringing it back?
I'm honestly just looking forward to being in it again. It's like, it's funny when you're doing stuff, it's like, oh, I'd rather be doing other things. And then when it's not around, you're like, I miss being a worm.
Yeah.
I miss sweating in a big worm costume.
Different, eh? The schedule.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's different because you're used to waking up at 8 in the morning. Oh, hey, Puka!
Yeah.
Morning team!
Nice.
You know, but then now it's like, hey, chores, washing.
Reality.
Yeah.
But that's really cool. I mean, I can see it, and I'm sure our listeners can hear it. The passion and the excitement in your face says it all. Looking forward to heading back on the road. All right, we're going to take a music break. After the break, we're going to unpack your arts journey. What did you do before becoming worms and rats on stage? Now, our dear friend Jenny Smith has contacted us because she talked to us not long ago about her album release, The Girl Next Door. It's coming out from March 27th, and she finally has some tour dates for us. So if you'd like to go and see Jenny, who you've heard on the show many, many times, she's at the Ponsonby Social Club on Friday, March the 28th at 8 p.m, which is the album release party with the full band. And guess who, Emma, is opening her act?
It's Ben Rugg.
No, Blake Stangton, who she met, of course, here on Kick Arts, which is fantastic.
Well, it had to be one or the other.
Yeah, then heading to Christchurch for Wonder Bar, Saturday, April 19th. Our opening act is Stephanie Beck, who we've also played on here. And Emma Kate, who's joining us next week on the show, is the opening act for Wellington for Moon, at Moon, I should say, Saturday, April 26th. So head to undertheradar.co.nz for all the information. And in case you've forgotten, here's her latest track, Mirror.
I can see that you've already found a replacement for me. Is she from the city? And you're showing her around just to rub it in. Tell me, I bet she's into Disney, doesn't like whiskey.
I've seen her before.
Jenny Smith, go along to the Ponsonby Social Club, 28th of March. Head to undertheradar.co.nz to book your tickets. And guess what, Emma?
What?
Her email said if we promote that tonight, she's going to stop by with baking soon.
Oh, yay.
For our guest, Jenny makes the most incredible baking. Like, honestly, the best baking. Back now to our fabulous guest. And Chantal, kick it off. When did the arts first start for you? Take us back.
When did the bug bite?
Yeah.
Worms.
Well, it was a rat.
it started, ages, like, I was quite young. So in the Polynesian culture, we have something called Sunday school. And we had White Sunday, and we would act like Jesus and, yep, all that stuff. So that's where where I found my love for performing, because then I saw the churchgoers laughing when I died in that certain play. And I was like, yeah.
Were they meant to be laughing?
No, they weren't. No.
But what, like, did you do?
You know, when you get the money, when the adults or elderly would come and put money on you for your awesome performance, I was like, bro, surely I can make mad money doing this. And then
I love that you thought at that age that you'd make mad money. I don't know if mad money is a true description of what happens.
Back then, $10 was a lot.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Hey. Did you get to keep it? Or did
church?
Oh, that was good. Yeah.
I kept it. Yeah. And I bought me like 5 cents of razoos. I don't know if anybody remembers that.
How long ago was that?
Yeah, ages.
Well, if they were 5 cents, a long time ago.
Hey, I'm not that old. But yeah, that's where it started. And then I went to school. And then I got casted as one of the lead roles for a school production.
What was that?
High School Blues, it was called.
Oh.
Yeah, by Monica Moore.
Dear friend of ours, we know her very well.
She's the one, actually, that I have to thank.
Aww.
Like, she pushed me to do performing arts because...
Was that at Maslin?
Maslin College, I was taught, you know, find a better job that pays good money, acting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's okay.
Go Monica.
Yeah, and Monica actually backed me all the way to Pipa.
Yeah.
So I did the Pacific Institute of Performing Arts. I did that. Graduated 2013, I believe. 2013, I graduated. And then I took a very long break after that. I took a 10-plus year break from stage, from acting. And then I moved to Australia. And I was working at customs at the airport. And then I came back, and then I just went straight back on stage. Like I never left.
That's cool.
Yeah. Wow.
So what have you been doing in the last few years?
I'm just working. I had my beautiful baby girl, Denise. I've just been a full-time mother.
Yeah. That's acting all the time.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. You know, they say have kids, and then you have kids, and oh, gosh.
Can't get them back.
You can't have her. But, yeah, just been a full-time mother, working. And just moving home, building our home on Mum's land. Sure, Mum. Yeah, that's about it.
Oh, that's cool, cool. And I love the shout out to Monica. We'll let her know.
Yeah, love her.
And when you look back over your journey, is there a role that you've played that's been that real highlight?
Yes, it was actually a Tongan show that I just did in December called Fa'unelua o Manako Polohiva. It was a highlight because it was the most challenging role I've ever done, because it was real serious, it was real emotional. It was hard because I come from a background of comedy, having fun on stage.
Yeah.
But as that character, I had to learn how to ground myself in her character and how to bring the emotion into the character instead of playing the emotion, you know. So that was one of my highlights, and actually, yeah, challenging.
Yeah, and sometimes it is those stepping out of the comfort zone, eh? That becomes the highlight. Doesn't mean we always want to do it, you know, because if you enjoy the comedy, and I can tell that that's your space, but it's great to be able to step out.
It was very, yeah.
So when you're doing something like The Worm, what are you sort of thinking about, okay, what next? This wraps at the end of April, what's next? Have you got something on the horizon, or do you go, nope, time to have a little bit of a break? How does it work?
I think I'm going to have a break and just support my mates that are soon going on tour.
Okay.
Yeah, because I've been in shows since, since December, January, November. And I haven't had a break since.
Right.
So, yeah, I think I'm just going to have a break, enjoy my baby, run around. And, yeah, and just hopefully make my own work.
Yeah. Nice. All right, we might unpack that more shortly. Pocker, take us back. When did the arts first start with you? Was it a nativity play? Were you baby Jesus?
Oh, no. I was actually an adult when I started thinking about anything. Yeah, well, I grew up doing kopaka as a kid, and my parents and my grandparents all did kopaka. But I didn't really like it. It was a bit too, like, the competition side. I was like, everyone got too serious. I was like, I just want to have fun. And, like, I was always an entertainer. Like, I was a funny guy at school and stuff. And then, yeah. But then I started working, and I worked in youth justice, residential homing and stuff, and like remand homes.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my workmates was like, oh, be my 27th year this year. And I was like, I can't do this for that long. And so I honestly just was, I auditioned for Toi Whakaari. I was like halfway through a bachelor's at Waikato University. And I was like, nah, I don't really want to. I was like, if I don't get this, if I don't make it into Toi Whakaari, my plan was to get a loan and buy a boat and fish. That was, but then I went to Toi Whakaari. Yeah, I was lucky as, got to go there. I was there for 3 years, just finished last year. And yeah, lucky again to be able to be, having some work now with The Worm. Yeah.
So where do you get your talent from then? If you didn't start till adult, you know, do you come from a musical or theatre background or family?
Not theatre. My dad is a guitarist.
Yep. Yeah.
No, we don't know how to, like, we only know how to play by ear and stuff. But, that's it. My parents perform doing kapaka, but I feel like it's a little bit different. It's more in your nature, and you kind of, it'd be like the same as if I did do theatre growing up and was baby Jesus and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
What was your biggest sort of learning or turning point at Toi Whakaari? What was that moment that you went, oh, this is getting serious now?
I think the moment was like when I could listen for real instead of being like, nah, I reckon it's like this. If I like the point where I was like, maybe just listen and see what happens after that. And then it was every, like, you know, you have to, da-da-da-da-da, and I'm like, oh. And then I was like, okay, if I do that, let's see what happens. And there was no more, no more, like, notes, or less notes than before.
Yeah, that's cool.
I think that was a turning point, just learning to listen better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Asking both of you now, what would be a dream role or perhaps project you want to work on yourself? What, you know, if a funder walked in the door or a producer walked in the door and offered you something, what's the thing that you'd say? Get the babysitter, I'm out of town. Is it a project? Is it a specific role you've always wanted to play? Either of you?
But this is my biggest dream ever in the whole entire world, was to be in a horror movie.
Really?
I love horrors, and my favorite is The Conjuring. And I've always wanted to be in that movie.
Okay.
True.
All right, so we need a Conjuring part 2, part 3, seven? However many we're up to these days.
They have 4.
Four? So, okay.
Yeah.
So a New Zealand Conjuring. Yep. Okay.
And Spookers.
Yeah.
How good.
Oh, no. That freaks me out. Sorry. Spookers. Yeah.
I think mine is a reoccurring character on a sitcom.
Okay.
Just like a...
Like Friends?
Yeah. Like a Janice
Yeah, or just someone who's in and out and in and out.
Yeah. And it's like, we know who that is.
Yeah,
that's kind of
That's really different tonight.
Yeah.
Really different, you know. Usually it's Jean Valjean and Les Mis or something. It's quite specific. All right, horror and a sitcom. All right.
Shortland Street?
Yeah, that's on the bucket list. Like, there's heaps of, like heaps of my grandparents like, you haven't made it until you've been on Shortland Street.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, cool. I'm not opposed to it.
Hey, take the work where it is.
Hard.
Yeah.
That's right.
What's been your biggest learning through this process, coming straight from drama school into a professional touring show? What's your biggest, I guess, learning you'd pass on to someone else, perhaps, about to do it for the first time?
I think there it is, eh? The professional part about it is the like, you kind of have to get used to what professional is in this industry and what it means to be, like, yeah, there's professional and then there's, like, too serious and, like, trying to play the kohanganui, I don't know what the English word is, like, the middle ground of that. Yeah, I think it's, like, finding...
Was there something about going into professional theatre then that surprised you, that was different than you expected?
No, not really. I just think, because this production is the first show I've been a part of that had none of the mates in my cohort, my class.
Yeah.
And, like, the nerves were there, but, like, it was shockingly similar in every other aspect.
Yeah.
Like, the people are all, people in the industry have been nice as to what I've seen.
Brilliant.
What was it like going to the Pans Market Day? And, like, being amongst everyone else that was pitching their shows as well, and you were there pitching this?
Well, we didn't really see anyone else. But I remember I went to Pans last year, and, like, it is gangster seeing everyone, like, with the passion for all of their shows, because I went to the pitches and stuff, and, like, yeah, seeing people want to talk about it. And then with Carl and Ben, when they were talking about what, like, how they came up with the show and, like, how it came to be, it must be such a surreal feeling to be able to be, like, it started as a thought and now there's a set behind me with crew in the wings, and, like, yeah, it must be a cool feeling to be, yeah.
We talked at the start of the show about, you know, theatre groups here in Auckland getting hit with COVID again, just that next wave coming around. It's a bit of a nasty one at the moment. What happens in your scenario? Like, do you have understudies? Does the stage manager suddenly have to jump on, or do you have to sort of abandon a show?
Well, our stage manager already jumps on.
Okay. So. Yeah.
Run a bean. No, you just have to suck it up and do the job.
Yeah, no understudies here. We are the understudies.
Yeah, we are the understudies.
Right.
But Ben actually knows all our lines. And
we'd love to see Ben come on.
As a solo show.
Brilliant. Hey, wrapping up now, back to the show. So you've got the season in Henderson at Te Pau Theatre from 8th to 11th of April.
Yep.
Then you're over to the Pump House Theatre in Takapuna from the 14th to the 19th. Then to the Mangere Arts Centre on the 25th of April. Now, some of these are specific, like, school holiday program groups, and some are public shows. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that how it works?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool. So people need to jump online to Te Pau, Pump House, or Mangere Arts Centre for ticket information. Give us your best sales pitch as the rat and the worm. What would you say to convince people to spend some money these school holidays and come along? Or as yourself.
Come and watch the rat do a gangster rap.
Oh.
Yeah, you don't want to miss that.
I reckon the van going north, all that they would have heard was laughter. I reckon it would have been a van load of laughter. Did you have to toss a coin to who drives? How did you lose that?
Well, the thing, what happened was, there was someone else that was supposed to be driving, and then I got a call, like, 2 days before. I was like, oh, sorry, he doesn't have a license at the, like, doesn't have a license or can't find it.
Expired.
And then I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, and then it just happened like that. I was like, oh, well, all right.
I remember many, many years ago doing a touring show when we turned up in Gisborne and the sponsors had provided a van, but it was a manual and all of us only drove automatic.
Oh.
And it was who could drive manual. And I was like, well, I did when I was 18, so I got the I bunny hopped through the entire East Coast, everywhere. The worst thing was our sponsors were the police, so we're driving a police van that has got logoed police all the way around. And we're literally pack and save car park in Gisborne. The amount of times I stalled trying to get dinner and we couldn't get it out. And here's this police van just stalling. Oh. Back in the days when public were allowed to drive police vans. So I am going back a little bit. But yeah, look, hey, all the best. Thank you so much for coming in, especially in your gap in your season. We really appreciate that you've come in. Listeners, jump on. It's a great, great show to go and see. I see that last time they did the tour, we even got a quote in there because we loved it, saying it was so perfectly pitched for enjoyment of older and younger audiences. So go and support them. Thanks so much, Puka and Chantel, for coming out on a Sunday night. Good luck with your season, and hopefully it doesn't get too hot in that womb suit.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Going to take a music break now as we swap out our guests for the next one. Now, Australian Idol's been busy doing performances from musical theatre, and one that caught my eye is Pure Imagination from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, which I've seen on a lot of socials, is doing the rounds in the country at the moment. Lots of different groups seem to be doing it. It's the new version.
The new version is kicking off with Showbiz Christchurch very shortly.
Yeah, so here it is, a bit of Pure Imagination, thanks to the Aussies.
Come with me and you'll be in a world of your imagination. Take a look and you'll see into your imagination. We'll be here with a spin, traveling in a world of my creation. What we'll see will defy explanation. Look around and you wear anything you want to do it. Want to change the world, there's nothing to it.
Pure Imagination. That was a shortened version.
I don't think I've ever seen Stephen run back into the studio so fast. That was quite incredible.
I have to tell our listeners, I was down in the bathroom because I thought I had a 4-minute song. And then suddenly I heard applause. I was like, oh my goodness, it's finished. It wasn't the 4-minute one I played. And it was cool. Cool to see Pure Imagination and Charlie doing the rounds.
Now you've started us off with the giggles. Come on.
There's no hope. There's no hope.
No hope.
Now it's my turn to interview you, Emma, for a little bit.
All right. I'll put my interview hat on.
School holidays coming up. Obviously, the worm is one of many different things happening. But you have ventured out with a little bit of something different to take on producing some professional theatre space work in Bad Jelly the Witch.
So Stage Antics, basically, after being around for, this is our 9th year, kind of went, well, these students are aging out of the junior shows, and what are we providing for the next steps? So we started the Next Steps Initiative, and Bad Jelly is our first foray.
Brilliant. And taking place in the Pump House?
Yeah. So we're in the first week of the holidays, and then the worm moves in after us. So yeah, first week of the holidays on the Thursday, Friday and Saturday with two or three shows a day. And we've got lots of exciting, accessible performances as well with our sign interpreted performances on Friday morning and after lunch. And then on Saturday, we've got a relaxed performance first thing in the morning. Yeah.
And is this the hope for a sort of a regular slot here at the Pump House?
Well, maybe not. I mean, yeah, it'd be great anywhere, really. Mm. But to have regular paid work for young emerging artists and pre-professionals.
All right. So you've brought two of those emerging professionals, a very familiar-looking audience in here tonight. Introduce them.
Yeah. So joining us tonight, we've got Freya and Katie Rose.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome. So, Freya, who do you play in Bad Jelly the Witch?
I play multiple roles. I play Jim the Eagle, I play Silly Sausage, the Shark, and Lucy the Cow.
Excellent. That sounds like a lot of different lines to learn and a lot of character switching.
Uh-huh. Lots of animals.
Okay, we'll unpack that shortly. Katie Rose, who are you playing?
I am playing Tim, which is one of the siblings. Tim and Rose take us through their journey finding their beloved cow, Lucy. So we meet a lot of Freya's characters on the way.
Brilliant. Now, Emma, is this the original sort of story based on Spike Milligan's story?
It sure is. So it is Spike. It's an adaptation of Spike Milligan's story that most of us would know growing up, you know, like for me it was the Sunday mornings playing the record or listening to the radio. And this has been adapted, and this is Playmarket's version that they license.
So if audience don't know, Katie Rose, can you tell us the story of Bad Jelly the Witch?
So we start off with Tim and Rose going about their day when suddenly their cow Lucy has gone missing. And, you know, Lucy is held very dear to their heart, you know. How can they have their porridge in the morning without Lucy? So then they go on this journey through these dark forests and over the river in search for their cow, which had been stolen by, spoiler, Bad Jelly the Witch. Yes, yeah, so then they get through some tricks and turns. Bad Jelly catches them, but I guess you'll just have to come to our show to find out more and what happens.
How many in the cast altogether?
There's six of us all up.
Okay, and what's it like, Freya, sort of stepping now into the adult realm of doing shows? Does it feel just like what you were doing before, or is there kind of a bit more, I guess, in a sort of heightened perhaps tension or demand because you have this feeling of actually this is a paid gig now and we've got to step up? Where does it sit for you?
It's super cool because it's the opportunity to have this professional job where we're able to step in and say, like, look, we're professional actors and we've got this performance that has a higher standard to the shows that we've done before, but it's in an environment where it's comfortable and it's something that we know and a community that we feel safe with, and so it's just like a really cool experience to have.
Yeah, nice way of describing it. And how cool is that on your CV too? You're like, that's really cool. Yeah. Do you see this as something that you would hope to sort of keep doing for a while? Or can it fit around your lives and your unis and things like that?
I think it's been very flexible because we've all sort of taken on our parts and we work on them in our own time. We come together twice a week so far, and when we do, we're locked in, we're figuring out marketing and all the videos, sending them out, and also rehearsing our lines and practicing all our songs. So it's been really, really great.
Cool. Now, Emma, you've run a boosted campaign for this to sort of kick it off. Is that still running?
Yeah, the boosted campaign is still running.
Tell us about it.
10 days to go. And for any of our listeners that don't know, boosted campaigns are all or nothing. Mm. So you've got to get the full target. And our target was $5,000. We're currently sitting on $3,525, which is 71%. Wow. So that, doing a bit of girl maths there, 29% left to go and 10 days to do it. So we need 2.9% a day. So, you know, everything counts. And I'm loving the people that are popping up saying, we're giving you our cup of coffee today to get you over the mark, or, you know, other theatre people that are supporting us as well. So this money, of course, is going towards helping us with our commitment to pay the actors, and we want to pay fair rates, and of course our tech team and our venue, and having these accessible performances actually comes at a cost as well. So yeah, so jump onto our social media, which is Stage Antics on Facebook or Instagram, and you'll see all of the links there to be able to donate to us.
Now, has Boosted had a bit of a rename, because I'm finding the Arts Foundation now.
Yes.
So it's thearts.co.nz.
It's thearts.co.nz. Yes, run it.
And if we type Bad Jelly in our search there, will we also find it?
Yeah, you will. So if you browse projects, or if you go thearts.co.nz, Boosted Projects, we're called Next Stage Bad Jelly the Witch. Next Step, sorry. Oh, what is it? It says Next Stage up there, but anyway.
Next Step's on mine.
Yeah.
Bad Jelly the Witch. Head then to thearts.co.nz/boosted. Let's see if we can support them tonight or throughout this week if you're listening via our podcast. Let's get it up. As you say, 10 days to go. How does this sort of seed funding help you? Like, help kick this off?
Well, I suppose the biggest thing is, you know, as much as we need tickets to sell as well, and tickets are also on sale via the Pump House. Having this little seed there just takes away that little bit of stress, because, as I said, we're paying all six actors and our director slash producer. So just having some money there to know that that's happening. We've had a few school holiday programs book in, which we're really excited
Great.
About. Yeah.
Because this feels a bit of a void from the late Tim Bray and something he was always offering in this space as well. Do you find yourself, are you similar to that sort of vibe, or are you trying to create your own version?
Well, I mean, Tim Bray was Tim Bray, and in a way it's similar in the sense that these are adults acting for young audiences. But it's definitely, we're trying to give it a Stage Antics slash Kiwiana slash us. So trying to inject our own personalities into it. Much hilarity at our, when we are face-to-face, kind of dropping in what are the, because we want the kids to relate to it too. That we had a huge conversation the other day about how can we ensure that the kids are engaging with us. So, you know, having a song maybe that they don't know versus we were having pizza the other night and suddenly someone remembered Witch Doctor from Space, not Jam.
Jump Jam.
Yeah, and we were like, well, all the kids would know that. And
exactly.
It means that kids in the audience can kind of be feeling like they're a part of it.
Yeah, that's cool. Jump Jam. Freya, what do you do during the day? Are you at, you've left school?
Yeah.
Are you at uni? Are you working? What's keeping you out of mischief?
At the moment, I'm working.
Yeah.
I have a few different jobs, but I'm mostly saving up because I'm going to go traveling later this year.
Brilliant.
And so, yeah, just working, saving up, and enjoying my time when I'm able to have some fun, do some rehearsals.
Yes. She's underselling herself, though. She's not just travelling. She's actually going to be working with Camp America.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
And a production camp.
Great. We'll unpack that a little later on. And Katie Rose, what about you? You're filling your days still at uni?
Yes, yep. I'm full-time at uni now. And so when I'm not at uni, I'm at Ballad Jelly the Witch rehearsal.
Great. Okay.
And Katie's one of those.
Yeah,
there's six or seven things on the go at the moment.
Well, I've interviewed you for a completely different project that you're involved with in the neurodiverse space. Tell us about that.
Well, it was Neurodiversity Week this week.
Wow,
so
had a big week.
Yes, it was very exciting. I think we're just honing down on the things we still do. We still do our ABQs, which is where we go and we can offer speakers and keynotes to your workplaces. So we can come in and we talk about neurodiversity. It's kind of catered to your event. So if you'd want to find out more, please, please, please follow our socials, Young Neurodiversity Champions on Instagram, and also on our website where you can find out more.
Brilliant. All right, let's take a music break and then we'll unpack these guys. I feel like they're holding back, Emma. I really do. Now we'll play the song that I was meant to play before, but don't worry, I've already been, so I'm going to stay here at the desk. And this is Stan Walker's latest track, One Life.
Kia ora, Divine, it's your boy Stan.
Chat, what's good? It's your boy Naughty.
And we out here on the farm.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you hear the cicadas? This is our latest single, One Life. Let's get it.
How you, Bobo?
Yeah, I do it for my people. I don't do it for the fame. If I got caught, I ain't done now. And it's okay, we're not the same.
Pushing, work, don't stop, keep pushing. Yeah, don't stop, don't stop, don't. Yeah, don't stop, keep pushing. Work, don't stop, keep pushing. Yeah, don't stop, keep pushing. Work. Don't stop, no. Don't take what them tyrants lend you. Corporate degenerate and corrupt one center. Unify self on new ventures. Not lying to the whole game gentrified. Cut my wrist, I can't kick the bird. By my tongue, no D's. My words bring hope to the kids in the hood and the birds. True, white the brown, my G's gone. What's the man for the queens and sisters? Sovereignty, I can keep the riches. Love that blood, can't call them bitches. Leave that blood, virtue in scriptures. What's the man for the queens and sisters? Sovereignty, I can keep the riches. Love that blood, can't call them bitches. Leave that blood, virtue in scriptures.
If we got one love, we only got one time. So make it worth our love.
Pushing, yeah, don't stop, keep pushing. Work, don't stop, keep pushing. Yeah, don't stop, keep pushing. Work, don't stop, keep pushing. Yeah, don't stop, keep pushing. Work, don't stop, keep pushing. Yeah, don't stop, don't stop.
Yeah, 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 yeah. We only got one life. You better live it well. You gotta learn to get together. One life, one life, one life. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Stephen, we just got a donation on our Boosted.
Excellent. Keep them coming. Head to, and it wasn't the Boosted, you got to head to thearts.co.nz/boosted. That's really thrown me. Like, I had to search four or five times to find that.
Well,
why
see,
would you change something?
I just Google, I put Bad Jelly Boosted, and it takes you to
good
the page.
Idea,
so
good
if
idea.
You Google, so we are now sitting on 72%. We're
right.
Up a percent.
Come on, keep going, people. Now, Emma, you mentioned at the start, that you had some relaxed performances, etc. Unpack some of the special performances that you have, because you've got one that's sign interpreted.
Yeah, so we've got our two sign interpreted performances on the Friday, and that's with Platform Interpreting, our friend Kelly. And then on the Saturday, we've got our relaxed Saturday morning at 10:30, we've got a relaxed performance. But we're also offering special ticket prices. So if you are a person with a disability, or maybe you've got a child with a disability, we've got discounted tickets for those people, because we really want to make sure that we're making this accessible for everyone. But those discounted tickets are also available for the people's carers or support workers. So bring a group, you know, if you're part of a group, you know, that might like to come along, that maybe need it, would like an excursion out. Yeah, get along.
Fantastic. And So let's just sort of unpack your arts journey. Obviously, you've been part of Stage Antics. That's how you've had this connection in. But Freya, if you take us back, what was the first time you sort of went, oh, I want to do something in the arts world?
The first time I was on stage was when I was five. I did a show in the week performance of Annie, and I actually played the dog. So that's kind of what got me into...
Good old Sandy.
Sorry, I'm only laughing because these guys have got such a mutual story there with playing animals.
And so that kind of got me into performing, and then I did that through... all of my school years, and then I've been with Massive Theatre Company, which is a physical theatre company, and so I've been in their training program, Massive Nui Ensemble, for the last 3 years, and this year I'm actually in their director's program, which is called Director's Lab, learning how to emerge into a director. And other than that, I've done lots of musicals with Stage Antics, NYT. I've been to the Australia Junior Theatre Festival and the America one. I went there last year, and those were great opportunities.
So many things already, and heading to Camp America, and Emma just mentioned it had a performance focus, so tell us a little bit about this.
Yeah, so I'm going this year for a theatre specialist, which means that I do theatre games with the kids and also help put on three different performances of junior musicals throughout the whole summer.
Cool. Well, that'll put those directing skills into practice from Massive. Yeah. What are you looking forward to most?
I'm looking forward to most learning from the kids, but also showing my skills off and becoming a teacher and learning what it's like to be on that other side of performing, helping kids find their passion and find what they enjoy.
And having hundreds of kids going, where's your accent from? That's a really interesting accent. Which part of America are you heading to?
I'm going to Pennsylvania.
Ooh, cool. Very cool.
But it's in like the middle of nowhere. There's no towns around there. They said the closest thing is an ice cream shop that's a 5-minute drive.
Okay. So where do you fly into then?
We fly into Newark. Okay. And then it's a 2-hour bus drive from there.
That's cool though. That's all part of the adventure of heading away. What's the long-term goal? Where do you want to be? If we interviewed you in 5 years' time, what will Freya be doing?
I would love to continue performing, to be creating my own work, to be directing, just really doing something in the arts, whether it's on stage, behind like the screen, anything. I love to just be in it. So creating my own things, sharing other people's stories, things like that.
Nice. I'm going to give you time to think, because I'm going to come back to you on this one, but I'm going to ask you, if a funder walked in the door, handed you a blank check and said you could go and do any project you want with that blank check, what would it be? So have a think. Katie Rose, Emma got the giggles there. What animal did you play?
One of my first shows that Emma actually watched me in was in Into the Woods, where I played Milky White the cow. Yeah, so I guess the praise taking on the new role is Cow and Bad Jelly the Witch.
Was that the one that kicked off your aunt's journey?
I'm not sure. I think I really got into it when I joined Stage Antics first, and we were doing all our shows and musical theatre workshops. But my mum actually first put me into drama classes when I was really young, because I used to be very, very shy and I didn't want to talk to anyone. So, well, look at me now.
When Katie first started lessons with Stage Antics, though, she had the quietest voice. And yet she was in choirs and things, and no one was allowed to listen. Like, we went through years and years of the door shut during our lesson and no one being allowed to listen, not even mum.
Wow. Wow. What do you think was the trigger point that brought you out of your shell?
I think I took on a lot of what Emma was telling me, and when someone tells you the same thing over and over again, well, you hope it gets in somehow. So I think when Emma's like, no, that does sound good, or would prepare me, or I'd go out and I'd just be immersed in all these different things and with all these people who were confident in what they do, and it looks good when it looks so inspiring when someone is passionate about something that you do, you know, when they've got that spark in their eyes. So looking and watching and being immersed in that sort of environment and seeing all these people love what they do maybe want to come out a bit more, I think.
That's so cool. What are you studying at uni?
I'm studying, this is my final year at university with finishing my bachelor's. I'm studying a Bachelor of Science in Psychology and Environmental Science.
So if you're back in here in 5 years' time, what will you be doing? Will you mix that with everything else in your life?
Yeah, I think I kind of just chose two things that I was really, really interested in, and musical theatre just stuck as a hobby that I wanted to pursue outside formal education, but I wouldn't be opposed to getting into that a bit more.
Okay. So, same question to both of you, starting with you, Freya, because you've had time to think. If we handed you a blank check, what would be a dream project for you to work on?
I would love to create a sitcom or mockumentary about performing.
Cool.
Because I really enjoy the old sitcoms like The Office and Arrested Development, and I feel like they're not really created anymore, and so I think there's a space in the market for that.
For a performance-based sitcom.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I like that. All right, Katie Rose?
Oh, I'm not sure what project. I kind of want to travel first and get a look about what everywhere else in the world is doing. So I'm quite excited about, you know, exposing myself to different theatre if I was just given an unlimited check.
Yeah, fair enough. But that's cool. But that's all part of the journey.
Exactly.
Now, a little spy's handed me a piece of paper that says you won the Jennifer Ward Leland Award for Culture and Diversity recently.
Yes.
Congratulations. Tell us about that. What was involved in even being nominated for that?
Well, honestly, it was completely unexpected. I actually woke up one morning to a message saying, oh, just check this out. And it was them reading my name out on this big podium. So it was really, really, really special. And they had so many things to say about me that I was a little bit starstruck.
Oh, that is so cool. Was that part of MTNZ, Emma?
Yeah, so that was Music Theatre New Zealand every year has an award, which is the Jennifer Atamera Ward Leyland Award for Culture and Diversity. So Katie Rose's award was recognising, well, the fact that she's been recognised, and Katie Rose has been recognised now multiple times as a trailblazer. So 2 years ago, Katie won Trailblazer of the Year for Girl Boss, which is a big New Zealand... I was going to say, is it a competition?
It's just an award. Girl Boss Award.
Yeah. It's and nice. Then in 2025, she was a Y25, which is the YWCA's... Girl 25 top wahine in New Zealand under the age of 25. She was one of those. And I mean, when you were back in high school, she was a Howick Youth Ambassador, won an award for being Howick Council Youth.
Oh, yeah.
Award.
I did Zonta International Awards.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's been so many awards, but they recognise the fact that Katie's not only her voice as a young Samoan, you know, and having that side coming across, but using the arts as a vehicle for change for neurodiverse and making arts accessible, and, you know, also helping just people who do have neurodiversities have a place.
Look, our audience and our listeners are all ages, all generations. If someone listening tonight is like, I don't understand, what is this reference to neurodiverse? How would you unpack that for somebody desperately keen to understand it?
First, I'd just say it's a brain-based difference. So if you don't understand it, maybe because you're neurotypical and you're not neurodiverse, it's anything that ranges from autism to ADHD to giftedness, dyslexia, dyspraxia. There's a whole range, but it's a brain-based difference that makes you see the world a little bit differently. And in some cases, you may need a little bit of extra support in unleashing your full potential. So, yeah.
And the work that you're doing with the young, what was it, the young
Neurodiversity Champions?
Thank you. What's their goal?
So we are a youth advocacy group, a part of the Neurodiversity in Education Project. So a couple of years ago, we went to Parliament to submit a white paper to change the education system so it better supports us from like a non-binary system to a system that better supports and educates our young learners, especially because being in a system that doesn't cater for you or support you in the way that you need can be very detrimental to a young person's mental health, which, as we know here in New Zealand, is already a little bit problematic. But I think this youth group, we're from all over New Zealand, and we're actually looking for some new high school ambassadors, so keep an eye on our socials. But we just advocate, we go out there, we spread awareness, we put some little... put our story out there into the world in hopes that people look at us and see that we do matter and that we can make some good change.
And since delivering that white paper to Parliament, have you seen a shift from them, or are we still needing to shake those doors a bit louder?
Yes, we are. Mm. We're banging on those doors.
It's election year.
Exactly.
That's important. Mm.
So we're still wanting, we didn't see the change that we've wanted yet, but we're very optimistic and we've got some big plans in the works.
Good. Awesome, awesome to hear. Dream role now, stage role. Producer walks in the door, offers you one role, television, film, theatre. What role is it? Tick, 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 tick. I can see their brains going. The joy of live radio where you can't have silence, but I can tell from their faces they're not quite there yet. Freya?
I don't have a specific dream role, but I would just love to be in a big show. Whether that's a musical or a TV show or anything that's just got like massive budget funding, all the people
you
behind
want all the whiz bang moments, yeah. So you want to be in a spectacle,
yeah.
Okay, fair enough. But any role, all right. Okay, Katie Rose.
I love the musical In the Heights so much. So I'd love to play anything from like, even a background character, just because I love the music and I love the songs.
Just to be in that. Mm. Is there a junior version of that?
Not of In the Heights, no. But In the Heights is available, and it's been done a few times around across the motto. And, yeah, it's got some beautiful music in it. Mm.
All right, we're going to take a music break. And while we do, you're going to jump online to thearts.co.nz, do a search for Bad Jelly the Witch, and try and add to Emma's Boosted. If you're listening this week during podcast, that includes you, because we've got 10 days. So doesn't it just have to be tonight? Taking a music break now, we heard from Colin Scott a little while ago, who hit us up on Instagram. Here's his latest track, Where the Stars Collide.
Sitting here beside me, laughing under that old tree, looking at the stars shining down on us, pointing at Orion's belt, singing out a song so loud, laughing about all we got here. Are the rockets high up there, where the stars collide underneath the moonlight? You stole my heart, never drift apart. Stars collide underneath the moonlight. You stole my heart, never drift apart. Stars, I see Jupiter and Mars pointing at Orion's belt, singing out a song so loud.
Where the Stars Collide, Colin Scott. So cool to see the growing subscribers to his page since we chatted about him just a month or so ago. So make sure you check him out. If you've got some music, events or something coming up in your world, email us info@kickarts.org.nz. We've got a few gaps in the schedule coming up. We'd love to get you on. Lots of community theatre coming up. So perhaps if you've got some music, some art, some books that you've written as well, make sure you're emailing us info@kickarts.org.nz. Plus Emma pops it up on our bulletins page so you can jump onto our website and check it out. Now, back to our fabulous team here and going back now to Bad Jelly. Katie Rose, what's your favourite part about the show?
My favourite part has been getting to come up with all these funny interpretations about how to say and project the story, because we want to keep it fun and we want to keep it whimsical and we also want to keep it modern. So we've got a few quirky jokes that we hope the audience will catch.
Yeah. Nice. And Freya, is there a particular part in the script that you always look forward to the most with the multiple characters that you're playing? Are you like, I can't wait for this one?
I really enjoy playing the shark. It's just very overdramatic. And just a really fun bit. There's a little bit of a, like, a fight scene before it. So it's just like a fun, movement-y.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you have different costumes for each role, or is it just sort of simple props that change the costumes?
Just a change of, just something that we can easily change out of with the many roles.
Okay, all right.
We're still working through a lot of those.
Yeah, yeah, cool. Still pulling it together. So, Emma, you're directing it?
I am.
Yeah, what's that like?
Well, it's interesting because obviously I've worked with all of these guys before in youth theatre. Well, apart from Hugo, actually. But Hugo I've worked with as a musical director, so working with him now as an actor is different again. But I think what I love the most is, one, because these guys have been part of a whānau for so long and they've worked together and they know each other, there's such a beautiful familiarity and the safety of being able to take the risk. Mm. But at the same time, that can also be a negative, because when we're together, we get off topic really, really easily.
Yeah. Because you're all best friends trying to put on a show.
Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. Katie Rose, is there a, I guess, age that you think this is suitable for the audience? Is it like all children, all ages, family?
Well, I think the great thing about this is it's for a very, very large age group, because the story of Bad Jelly the Witch is quite, I feel, nostalgic for a lot of people. So even if you are coming because you're bringing your kid along, we hope that you'd enjoy it too, just because it's that, you know, feel-good story that we all grew up on.
Nice. Did you know it before doing it, Freya? Have you ever heard this story before?
I was aware of it. I wasn't 100% like, oh yes, I can immediately tell you what it's about.
Yeah.
Obviously I'd heard of it before, but now I definitely know it.
The only thing that's sad though, our first read through, I have to admit, I was waiting for Bad Jelly to say her famous line, which of course is stinky poo, stinky poo, stinky poo, knickers, knickers, knickers.
Mm,
But we've got stinky poo, stinky pink, poo, stinky poo, you stink too. And there's no knickers. I'm not sure why
that
got. Yeah, I don't know. Mm. Probably, but yeah. So there's no knickers, knickers, knickers.
Because that is one of those things, you know, when you're wanting to go back to nostalgia, you do want those special moments. I was just trying to find when the book was originally written. Does anybody in the room know the original story date?
Mr. Spike Milligan.
Yeah, when did he created. Oh, printed in 1973.
Mm, there you go.
Before making an audio and video version. Yeah, so it is dating back.
And his audio version was all him doing all the different voices.
Really?
And it was crack up. Like, I just remember sitting next to our record player and just laughing and laughing, thinking it was so cool.
So, for those listening, not sure of Spike Milligan, famous for writing the radio show, The Goon Show. I had the privilege in my teenage years of doing an episode here on stage for The Goon Show. Very old now. But he also helped create many pieces like surreal sketches that went into Monty Python. But he, from my memory of him, was lots of poetry books that's what I remember in the school time. He had really good comedy poetry books. Mm. Do you remember that?
I think I remember him more for those other things that you mentioned, you know, the Goons and stuff, rather than that.
These two won't even know who the Goon Show is.
No, probably not.
But if my older brother's listening, he was one of his favourite. That and the Goodies. Do you remember the Goodies?
Yes, of course.
Good, good. Just checking. So, what's the next few weeks like as it ramps up? Tell us, what are we now getting into serious rehearsals? Because we're only a couple of weeks off before getting into that theatre. If that, week and a half.
Exactly. Mm. We're still meeting Mondays and Fridays, and that's sort of us locking down, making sure our lines are memorised, and just getting a feel for how we might put that on in the space, because we haven't seen the space yet. But when we do, I think we've got a solid week in the theatre, running through tech, dress, you know, feeling it out before we've got our first show.
And are you looking forward to having the kids in the audience? Like, are you ready for an all-children audience and all of that magic that comes with that? Like, noise and screaming and calling out and all the good stuff? Yeah?
I think it'll definitely feel different when we've got all of that energy in the room, and I think it will definitely bring the show even more to life.
Yeah, but you have to really know your lines and focus because, boy, talk about distractions, eh? And in a good way, because that means they're engaged with you, they're calling out, but it can throw you. Have either of you worked in that setting before? Yeah?
Yeah, I think last year before, I was able to perform Hana the Glowworm at the Kiritakanawa Theatre. And so that was an all-children's musical, New Zealand musical. Mm. It was the first showing, and they're now putting on a full version this year in September. But that was really cool, being able to interact, you know, ask them questions and throw a bunch of songs that you know that they'll love.
That's cool. And such a good venue, the Pump House. Good space, easy parking. Emma, what's your sort of plan for the next week and a half to pull it all together?
Make sure these guys have got their lines down. No, like Katie said, we've got a really solid week, and Easter's great because it means these guys, because three of the six are at university. So with having Easter and then into holidays, they're on holidays too, which means I literally get a week of full dedication to this is the priority.
To pull it all together.
And all of these kids have been part of Stage Antics Show in a Week's at some point or another, or pilot programs, so they know what it's like to be given something and have a week to do it.
Mm.
So we've got so much foundation laid already, and it just means that week can be literally drill, drill, drill.
What's your favourite part of the show?
I think it's the stupidity of it, which is gloriously joyful, and just, you know, again, I think that the parents and the grandparents are going to enjoy it just as much as the kids will. And I mean, that legacy of Tim Bray's Bad Jelly the Witch and everything too also is I mean, not well, I'm following in his footsteps, you know, and his legacy is huge. And, you know, knowing Tim and everything as well, and, you know, just kind of thinking about, in fact, what's the cat?
Fluffy Bum.
Our Fluffy Bum puppet is, that we're probably using, is Tim Bray's puppet. We've managed to get hold of a couple of the puppets that he had from his shows, so I'm just in the process of ironing that out, so that will be really cool to have a little piece of Tim along for the ride.
Yeah, that's awesome, and great for the Pump House to have that space, that void filled for the school holidays, because for the locals on the shore, it has become a place to go to take your kids.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Pump House have done so well, because obviously, as we've heard tonight, there's us in the first week, and then in the second week, you can go and check out the Worm.
Now, you're not here next weekend. Where are you venturing off? Have you got something else happening somewhere else before Bad Jelly opens?
Next weekend is, I'm going to help someone out next weekend, so that's not a show thing. It's actually after. So we've got Bad Jelly, and literally we finish on the Saturday, and on the Sunday I start the Double Bill Show in a Week in Invercargill, where we're doing the Big 1-0 Junior, and we're doing Mary Poppins Junior. Mm. So we've got 65 kids down there lined up to do that. So the school holidays for me are always crazy busy.
Peak time. Invercargill's become a real good good space hub for you, hasn't it? It's been a good
stage. Antics Southland has definitely got a really strong following, as has Stage Antics Queenstown. So down there is just fantastic. Yeah.
That is so cool. Apart from travelling to Camp America, any other theatrical things lined up for the rest of this year?
I'm in Hadestown.
Ooh, tell us about that.
With Stage Antics, which is the teen edition. And so that's going to
that
be...
On?
That's at the Pump House later in June.
Yeah, 4th to the 6th of June, that is.
Cool.
So it's the first time that Hadestown is being done in Tamaki Makaurau. It has been licensed a lot. The teen edition is through the country and it's going off. So anyone that hasn't seen Hadestown needs to check that out. Yeah. Freya is one of the workers.
Cool. And anything after that, or just start getting ready for Camp America?
Yeah, I leave a week after we perform Hadestown. So nothing after that. But I do come back just in time to hopefully help out at JTF when it comes.
Cool. Okay. And Katie, anything lined up for you?
Yes. Well,
consulting the diary, I see.
Yes, I was just going to look through. Stage Antics is putting on an incredible show. We are doing Madagascar down and we will be performing at the Dewdrop Theatre.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's very exciting. I'll be musical directing alongside Kat and Willie, who'll be there. And yeah, Emma, would you like to tell us more?
Yeah, so we're taking registrations at the moment. If you've got performers aged 8 to 18 years that would like to be a part of Madagascar the Musical Adventure Junior, and rehearsals start straight after the holidays. We've got our orientation on Sunday, rehearsing out in South Auckland and performing, like Katie said, at the Dewdrop, which is huge.
Yeah, awesome.
So, yeah, and it's a great team and we're really excited about being back in South Auckland because we didn't do a South Auckland show last year. And so it's beautiful to be back. You know, Katie is OG South Auckland Stage Antics. You know, the last role she played was Mrs. Kangaroo for us. So, yeah, no, it's really cool to be out there.
Fantastic. Well, all the very best for your season. Hope it goes well. I'm looking forward to seeing it. We've got some special kick art seats that you can sit in when you go there as well, so that we purchase. So go and support us there as well. Emma, where can people go to get tickets?
So tickets for Bad Jelly the Witch are available through the Pump House. So jump onto the Pump House website and you will find us there. And the Hadestown tickets are actually open now too. So if you're a musical fan, get some tickets.
Awesome. And head along to thearts.co.nz/boosted. Type in Bad Jelly. Let's see this go up this week so that they can meet their target. As Emma said, they need to get the full $5,000 raise in order to get anything that's been donated here. So if you've already donated, go and talk some friends into it. They're at 72%. Let's kick them up to the 100. That's so important. All the best. Thank you so much. Go well. Dolphin Theatre, a reminder, our fabulous sponsors this month have got every brilliant thing taking place. Head to dolphintheatre.org.nz. I'm going along next weekend to check it out. That was the group we interviewed last week where it's done in the round, in the foyer, and you are part of the show on arrival. So wish me luck. Emma, we did talk about you last week while you were away because there's no Tuesday treats for this one. They don't run on a Tuesday.
No, but I have to say they are partnering with Yellow Brick Road.
Yes.
Now, that is an organisation that supports whānau who have loved ones experiencing mental health challenges. And at the end of the season, a portion of their ticket sales is going to be donated to them. So good on Dolphin as well for helping the community.
Brilliant. All right, we're going to wrap it now. And I had hoped to go and see Chess the Musical in New York because I wanted to see Lea Michele in the role, but she's just announced that she's wrapping it up soon. So I'm not going to see her. I've still got my fingers crossed I win Lotto this year and get over there. But let's close with her singing Nobody's Side. Have a fabulous week and make sure you
kick some arts.
Going on around me is barely making sense. I need some explanations fast. I see my present partner in the imperfect.
perfect tense, and I don't see how we can last. I feel I need a change of cast. Maybe I'm a nobody's sign when he gives me reasons to justify each move. They're getting harder to believe. I know this can't continue. I've still a lot to prove. There must be more I could achieve. But I don't have the nerve to leave. Everybody's playing the game, but nobody's rules are the same. Nobody's on nobody's side. Better learn to go it alone. Recognize you're out on your own. Nobody's on nobody's side. The one I should not think of keeps rolling through my mind, and I don't want to let that go. No lover's ever faithful, no contract truly signed. There's nothing certain left to know.
Kick some art, art, art. Go kick some art.